Okay, that's a sound called Upsweep. That's the recordings of Upsweep going back to 1991. It appears to be seasonal. It peaks in the spring and autumn, and no one's really clear what it is.
Listen to your
KUT Radio 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Radio Kapwa, where all Filipinos are Filipino enough.
You're listening to 90.3 CKUT FM.
Mabuhay, everyone. My name is Veronica, one of the hosts of this Radio Kapwa broadcasting. Nakikinig po kayo sa Radio Kapwa. How's everyone doing? We have had our second episode just last week and it went well. There was a lot of feelings behind it. I'm still going through the whole feelings of the Pride event being canceled as a queer Filipino myself. There was a lot of response of support. We went to the park as well and we met so much more people. One of the big organizers for a Black queer-led organization actually came up to our spot because they recognized our Filipino flag because we follow each other on YouTube. And they were like, oh, I saw the flag, so I knew it was you. And I'm like, oh, thanks for coming. And they were also interviewed by CBC, the one that France you posted earlier. They were interviewed about, like, you know, well, fuck it, we're doing our own. And a lot of people just passed on their location on Parc La Fontaine and everyone just gathered in there. And I like the fact that some other queer folks as well went by literally with like, a grocery cart holding water bottles. We're like, we're coming in here to give water bottles for everyone. I'm like, yeah, this is what we do. We provide like our primary needs. Like we need water. Like it was really, really hot. I have frozen water bottles. It was gone. It was so, so thirsty, but it went great. It rained and we're like, nah, Mother Nature, thanks for all of this water. It was really hot. We didn't even move. We didn't even bother moving. Like I just moved my banig a little bit closer to the trees. And I'm like, let the nature protect us a bit for the water. And that's pretty much it. So overall, I got a good day and I got a good week. There's still digesting. I haven't posted any Pride pictures because I don't know what to say. I was just like overwhelmed with it. But how's everyone's week, friends?
Doing well. Thank you so much for that. I'm so happy to hear that despite the cancellation, the community was able to get together and still celebrate and just show that, you know, like the system's kind of broken. So we take care of each other. That's what it is, right? We take care of each other. Nice to see you, Des.
Hi. Hi, everybody. And hi, everybody that's listening. Desiree here. I just wanted to say thank you to all of our queer Kapwa that were on our show last week sharing their feelings and their thoughts and their frustration after the cancellation. So I just wanted to shout them out again and thank them for being on the show. And similar to France, I'm just so happy that there were celebrations and there were connections that were made throughout the day, despite all of that craziness that happened.
Great. So before we go on and move to our show, I just want to, we came up with this icebreaker questions just so that other listeners as well can relate to our discussions. So I want to open a question about everyone's karaoke song. Right? We Filipinos, we love to sing. We literally just talked about like, we need to have several mics because everyone just would want to sing. And I can start with myself. And I always just, I literally just sing it. And I'm like, what's your karaoke song? And I would say, parang di ko yata kaya kung sa buhay ko'y wala ka aanhin ng pag-ibig. That's Jessa Zaragoza. Bakit pa?
Mom would be proud of me. I love it. Oh my God. Okay, I can go with I don't think I have one karaoke song. How can you ask us for one karaoke song? Like there's so many. When we first when you first asked me, I was like, anything Whitney Houston. And then I was like, no, wait, anything Spice Girls or anything. And then as you sang and serenaded us, Vero, I was like Frank Sinatra, because my dad, I used to come home and my dad would be alone in our living room with his tiny little karaoke machine singing Frank Sinatra. So I don't have a specific song, but anything Frank Sinatra makes my heart happy.
I love that so much. You totally answered my question, Des. That was the same for me. I was like, again, how can I pick one song? But the first thing that came to me was like basically anything Whitney. Us as Filipinos, we know we love the power ballads. We know we love to like sing things that come from like deep in the gut, right? So like, I'm your baby tonight. My love is your love. I want to dance with somebody. I mean, like, how do you not like jump into that, right? So I love that. We're also going to poke our wonderful sound engineer right now, Laura. She is wonderful. She is always here, always in the background. But we like to hear from her too. So what's your favorite karaoke song, Laura?
Well, you're right. The power ballads are everything. So I actually pick, every time I karaoke, I pick Hero by Mariah Carey. And then I always try to slip in the My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
I love it. I love it. Oh, and there's Endless Love. Endless Love.
Oh,
Endless Love or I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston. Come on.
And what's the Dolly Parton one? Emerging something islands or something like that. It was in the Jokoi movie and everyone was singing it, and I'm just like, my mom and my dad beside me were just like vibing to it. So like you said, France, it's like we Filipinos, we're so madamdamin, right? So we use this as an outlet to like let it out and like get through our feelings, because we can't handle our feelings. But we will be talking about this in our future broadcasting, like how do we deal with our feelings, right? I personally would want to know about this because I can't handle my feelings, but that's just me. So before we start, I want to play you a song by Ben and Ben, a Filipino rock music based in the Philippines, called Ride Home, because it feels like we're riding home back to our homeland. So c'est parti.
Place where you and I were supposed to meet. The city yawns, the echo on, my thoughts are spinning on and on my head, it seems. They lead me back to you. I keep coming back to you. Took a morning ride, found a place up in my mind no one else can see. Maybe it's faith that we lose control. In circles around we go. We become who we ought to know. We just gotta let it go. We just gotta let it go. So I'm coming home to you.
All right, for those who just tuned in, it's 90.3 CKUT FM. Yung nakikinig po kayo sa Radyo Kapwa. That was Ride Home by Ben and Ben. Okay, John Marvin, what do you got for us today to talk about the homeland? Sepak tipok tua.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes, a youth leader and a community organizer here bringing you important news back home in the Philippines. To be different for this week's news, we are going to talk about Philippine entertainment and celebrities. Liza Soperano, a famous actress in the Philippines, gives pride to the country for her first participation in Hollywood. The article is from Rappler with the title, It's True, Liza Soperano joins cast of Hollywood film Lisa Frankenstein. The Filipina actress will be making her big Hollywood debut alongside stars Cole Sprouse and Catherine Newton. The rumors are true. Filipino actress Liza Soberano has confirmed that she will be working alongside Hollywood stars Cole Sprouse and Catherine Newton in Focus Features' upcoming Hollywood horror comedy feature, Lisa Frankenstein. Liza confirmed her involvement in the project on Friday, August 12, reposting an article published by Deadline with a caption, Ecstatic to be part of this film. Her American co-star Catherine, who is known for her roles in The Society and Big Little Lies, took to the comments and replied, I'm ecstatic you're part of the film. Speculations of Liza's Hollywood debut were spurred when JSLA Events' Jesse Strafford tagged Liza and her management team in an Instagram story on Tuesday, August 9th. It was a repost of some images that Catherine uploaded during their first day of filming. Sending you and your team all the amazing energy to kill this film, Jesse wrote in her caption. Eagle-eyed fans were quick to spot the implication that Liza would play in a part of the film. Liza and her other co-star, Riverdale star Cole Sprouse, also follow each other on Instagram. Lisa Frankenstein tells the story of a typical high school student portrayed by Catherine, who, through a series of chance encounters, accidentally reanimated a handsome Victorian corpse portrayed by Cole. She then decided to use this opportunity to create the man of her dreams with the unknowing corpse as her blank canvas. The haunting of Bly Manor's Carla Gugino, The Crowded Room's Henry Eikenberry, and Stranger Things' Joe Shrest are also part of the film's roster of stars. Behind the scenes, Tony Award winner Diablo Cody serves as a script writer while actor-filmmaker Zelda Williams is directing the film. Liza has been very busy with several projects lately. In 2001, she shifted management and signed under James Reid Careless Music, and since then, Liza has appeared more frequently in the international celebrity scene. She and James were spotted partying with Bella Poarch and Bretman Rock during the latter's 24th birthday, and even attended the Gold Gala in Los Angeles with James. The duo even infiltrated with the K-pop world with dance, collabs with Jay Park, Ekens DK, and winners Hooni. The Tracy star also recently guested on a South Korean TV show. The 24-year-old actress rose to fame in the Philippines for her iconic roles in Dulce Amore, Bagani, My Ex and Wise, and Alone Together, together with on and off screen partner Enrique Hill. She also lent her voice to the titular protagonist of Netflix's 2021 animated feature, Trece. The article is written by a Rappler intern, Bia Bertuldo, in August 12, 2022. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is Jan Marvin Reyes, delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
And now I'm introducing you to Abby, who will be sharing with us a local news piece. Mic is yours, Abby.
Good afternoon, Kapwa. It's Abby back at it again with another local news. So last week, I reported about the Pride Parade cancellation that was supposed to be held on August 7th of 2022. So for this week's update, an article from City News Everywhere titled Montreal Requests Independent Investigation into Pride Parade Cancellation Festival Launches Internal Probe was actually requested by the mayor, Valérie Plante, who met with the festival organizers on Monday. Probe will aim to shed more light on what led to abrupt the cancellation of the event. So we will get more answers soon, which I'll probably report next week. But there's an investigation going on and we deserve some answers because this is very confusing and frustrating for so many of us. But another news for this week, according to City News as well, an article titled Judge Suspends Two Articles of Quebec's New Language Law Regarding Legal Translations. A Quebec Superior Court judge has temporarily suspended two articles of the province's new language law, saying they could prevent some English-speaking organizations from accessing justice through the courts. Justice Chantal Corriveau has ruled the sections of Bill 96 that require corporations to pay a certified translator to produce French versions of legal documents should be suspended until the court challenge can be heard on its merits. A group of lawyers challenging the sections of the law argue that the translation requirement may lead to costs and delays that could deter some small and medium-sized entities that operate in English from accessing the courts. Corriveau agreed that the group raised questions about whether that part of the law violates sections of the 1867 Constitution Act that guarantee access to the courts in both official languages. The lawyer are one of the several groups mounting legal challenges to Bill 96, which aims to strengthen the use of French through updated language regulations that affect businesses, junior colleges, immigration, and the courts. The law, which was adopted earlier this year, proactively invokes the non-withstanding clause of the Canadian Constitution to shield it from charter challenges. So hopefully by next week's news, we will get some updates from the Pride Parade and more updates about the Bill 96. So this is Abby reporting your local news. Have a great rest of your day.
So the next song you're going to be listening to is kind of an anthem here at Radio Kampwa, and it's called Panalo, and it's the Tagalog word for to be winning. And we love it here, and every time we hear it, we dance. And like I said, it's really our anthem just because we feel like there are so many Kapwa rising around us. So Panalo by Easy Mill.
Like they said, though, you can take a man out the hood.
Mga kababayan, turn up!
Tayo'y Pilipino, kahit anong tulay ng balat, isa sa puso, mapatagal, Bisaya o Ilocano, walang tatalo sa pagsig ng ating tubo. Isikaw ng malakas ang ating panalo, huwag nang pag-usapan ng mga negatibong pangyayari sa mampalika. Sa mundo, kinabuhay.
run in your mouth when you're lying. I stay on my business or watch you dying. I'm taking my people to heights where you crying, but regular living, and that's what I'm trying to prove. Instead of just lying in booth, first true Filipino rapper on the news. Sit and enjoy it if you're cool. Haters can snooze while I put my city on the map. 22 double O, Longable City, no cap. Never forgetting the street where my cousin would sit when we always just listen to rap. Kendrick, Eminem, ASAP, with some metal and mammy, we turn up with that. Been mundane till the sun came. Now we want fame like a kid in a trap. Hey, I've been in Spain, but the letter S is silent. I'm claiming my reign like a king, so I can water crops for surviving. Go away if you tripping. Had a homie who's crippin'. Egg on the love for the people who talk over songs when they claiming they listen. These bars never done. Three stars in the sun. Hey, blue, red, Drake down on the flag. No, we never fear none. Most of us didn't grow up with a trust fund. Know that I'm willing to kill for a loved one. I'm on a move from a nothing to someone. Reminding my people to shout. Isang lingwahe lang kaya gamitin ni Easy. May lakang mapapala kung ganyan ka mag-isip. Kay batala ka sisingil utang na galing sa loob na lumutang. Hinain sa turon na may pusang. Sinain sa... Aray!
Ilocano! Ilocano! Okay.
Uray mo nga in pagkakinyayo. Di o kinayo. Di tuyak na ang nagururay mo. Sinuti ang kayo. Tatlo ang sangsang itam akin. Di wagas mo nga payo. Nga tahil kaya itong nga patayang gagal natoy payo. Si kayo nga ang amin. Lahat kayo. All of you. Ever since bata ako, I've been kinda discriminated in my own home country. Sure, some will be like, puti-puti mo, tisoy. I ain't tisoy, I'm Pinoy. And I swear that nobody will ever look at me the same way. Again, I'll make it to the top while I'll be showing their sayings. And then I don't know, kung na wala ko na pinugutan sila ko sa bastard. Lahat na nasaktan na nanamin nila na pinatayang kanilang bayani. Isa kalagat na bansa na pag-aari ng Pilipino. Despite any turmoil, I'll be proud of my soil. Bakit? Kasi
tayo'y Pilipino.
So you just heard Panalo by Easy Mill, which is more or less the anthem here at Radio Kapwa.
So now we're about to listen to Joe Bataan, who was born Bataan Nitolano and grew up in New York. He is known for Latin soul, but his father was Filipino and his mother was African American. So you're about to listen to Joe Bataan, Afro-Filipino, ordinary guy.
Ordinary guy you left behind. Ordinary.
town. My apartment is my home. I spend the weekend with my friends. Otherwise, I'm alone. Don't know much about psychology. My degrees are in street ology. Ordinary, ordinary guy, Afro-Filipino, average sort of guy. Salsa!
Welcome to Quick Career Minute, hosted by your Ate Aleli. I'm the founder of The Informal and your first-generation professional career mentor. In the job search, first impressions count, but don't underestimate the power of lasting impressions. After each interview, don't forget to send a follow-up thank you email within 24 hours. Make sure to include a positive comment about the team or organization to show your value alignment, a reminder of why the role helps you reach your career goals, and ask for any next steps to show your proactiveness. For more career advice, you can find me on Instagram at @_theinformal or visit theinformal.ca.
Welcome back, everyone, to Radio Kapwa CKUT 90.3 FM. So happy to have you with us today. Really excited to be welcoming Jacqueline Aquines, my sister Jax. She's with us today. We're going to be talking about this amazing work she put together called Home is in the Body. But before we get to that, Jax, do you want to introduce yourself first?
Yes. My name is Jax Aquines, she, her, they, them pronouns. I was born in Jijoge, unceded territory of the Ganyagahaga. Mostly lived in the past 12 years in Treaty 7, Mokinstis, home of the Nisitipi, the Sutina, and the Stony Nakota, and Alberta Settlement 3 of the Métis. And now I am living in Toronto, Treaties 13, and I am just connecting with the land and learning about where I'm situated. I guess my background is, well, right now I'm part of the Cultural Instigators still, that is funded but not led by the Calgary Arts Development Authority, a group of 10 artists and activists disrupting systemic barriers in Treaty 7. And I'm also a consultant, an organizational change consultant as well. And then now here to start my master's at York in the fall.
Love it. I'm all for Pinay's accessing higher education. Let's do it. Lift while we climb, right? Lift while we climb. So by the time this episode airs, we usually air Wednesdays, 2 to 3 p.m. Basically, when this airs, the next day, we're going to be together. We're going to be together celebrating this amazing book you put together. So do you want to tell us first, I guess, what inspired you to put this book together? Where did it kind of start? How did this all start to begin with?
Thanks for having me, first of all. I didn't get to say that. Connecting Kapwa is always a joy for me. Yeah, that's part of why this project came about. I was always having conversations with Filipinx people who were so deeply interested in seeing more representation in whether it's in film, TV, media, publication. And then I was working with a good friend, Sadagi Black, who I worked with in the Treaty 7 Film Collective. And she put together a project called The Revitalization is Real in 2018, where I was honored to take the photographs for her. And seeing these beautiful, strong, powerful, young Indigenous youth from Treaty 7, like in a case of like on a wall, at, you know, publicly displayed with stories to be shared of a resilience and revitalization of a culture that has survived so much. I was like, where's our Filipinx peoples? I've always struggled with having like finding representation in the world around me growing up in Southwest Moquitos, Calgary, a very predominantly white neighborhood, and never really knowing like where I fit in. Even when I went to the Philippines for university, a semester there, that was an amazing time for me to see myself, like see so many people who were like thought like me as well. At the same time, I still felt like a big Canadian. So I lived in the States for a bit, but I always wanted to see more representation. Representation isn't just about seeing, but it's also about hearing our stories. It's about seeing our narratives and hearing our narratives from our perspectives written by us. And that's why I am continuing on writing more content, like writing a musical, like and connecting with other content creators like you, and I'm always interested in seeing more content by Filipinx and diasporic, because it's a very specific lens that I think, you know, there's disparity in our experiences with first gens or folks from in the homeland currently. So I think this project came from a need to see it, need to hear stories from us, and specifically from queer Filipinx femmes, because I think there's a lot more representation written from a lens that might not necessarily be from us, or maybe perpetuating certain narratives that, you know, may not offer the dynamic, spectrum that we so very much represent.
And what's so interesting with this process too, Jax, right, is a similar quest that you and I had is what kind of made our paths converge, right? So basically there is this Filipino academic book called Pinay Power, and it is about Filipina American feminisms. And while it is a Filipina American book, a lot of us Filipinas who were in academia kind of looking out for our own references and our own resources and having a hard time finding it, that anthology was kind of our first, right? And then what happened after is there was a random call podcast between Monica Batak, Jacqueline Aquinas, who is here with us today, Jillian Sudayan, and Carla Villanueva. Danan, am I forgetting anyone who was on that call, or that was the four? That was, oh no, it was a Facebook Live. I'm like, my memory's jogging now.
It was a Facebook Live, and then Melinda jumped on. Isn't that what happened? Or something like that, or messaged, or messaged, or something. But basically, Melinda de Jesus is the editor of Pinay Power, and was like, on this call, everyone was like, we should organize a conference, we should all get together. A lot of us want to talk about this, about Filipina, Filipinx feminism, all of these kind of issues, all these social justice issues. And from that random spotty recording that the four of you had, Monica Batak and I moved forward and actually organized this conference, right? So in 2019 at McGill University, we had the Pinay Power 2 Feminisms in the Diaspora Conference. It was over 4 days, full 4 days, I would say approximately 300 Filipinas from across the world kind of came, and we did so many fun things and talked about so many things. And this is exactly where my path with Jax converged, because I was told there's this cool Kapwa in Calgary who was getting funding from the Calgary Arts Council and wanted to kind of interview and take pictures of people at the conference. So we set Jax up with like a little corner, a little booth, and what happened after that, Jax?
Yeah, tell us more about the process, Jax. I'd love to learn, like, how was it, what was the process of creating Home is in the Body?
Yeah, this would never have happened without Monica and Carla and France, like, instrumentally, quickly writing letters of reference and invitations to get this grant happening with Calgary Arts Development Authority. Thank you so much, Kata. And it was just an idea that quickly went to paper and submitted. They have a grant that was intentionally to, you know, an equity grant that was, you know, meant to disrupt a lot of the processes that usual grant processes are like play out like with time and delay. So then I booked all the gear in Montreal from Lizzo, dragged it out in the rain, was bugging France very late, but she was exhausted and pregnant. You were hardcore.
In my defense, I did not know I was pregnant. I don't know if I would have been lifting and lugging things through construction and rain to set all of this up if I had known I was pregnant.
Yeah, and you're like, I've been waiting for you for like 3 hours, because I was still shooting in the hotel room, because I set up two sets, one in the hotel room and then moved it to the space where everything happened from Pinay Power 2. And people signed up, people wanted to you know, participate, and so thankful. This would not have happened without all, like, the conference one and the enthusiasm to sign up. I'm so grateful for that. And then Carla Dannon, Patty Abuel also helped out on set. It was very hectic. I didn't get to see a lot of the Type Power 2 conference, but I could hear it. And I'm still like, there's a documentary version of it coming out. Hopefully I could share a clip of it at the event in a week, some beautiful interviews, and then when I was wrapping it up and putting it all together, Monica was like, hey, well, do you have a publisher? And I was like, no. So she introduced me, like, I went to Anak Publishing, I'm pointing to Daisy up here, to Anak Publishing's booth and met Daisy D and Darlene. And then kept in touch, and then we started having these production conversations about how to lay this out and how this will play out. I couldn't have done this without Daisy D and Josa Manzanilla and Darlene. This was it was such a collaborative project. If you're Filipinx and would like to get published, please contact Daisy D.
Quick question.
There's a submission page.
Quick question, Jax. How many interviews are in the book?
There's 40.
Wow.
I interviewed 45 folks. I was also about consent in making sure that people could, made sure that they shared what they wanted and were comfortable with that. And then I'm learning in emergent process, in emergent strategy, and there were some oversights learning. I'm always apologizing, but it's a beautiful book.
Can we pause there for a second, right? Because we're doing this work that's never been done before, and we're gonna make mistakes, right? We're gonna make mistakes. And I'm always like, I'm so fine being corrected. Can we find ways to correct each other with kindness, right? Like, it's one thing to call out white supremacy. It's another thing when we do these kind of call outs in our community that could be so violent and harmful. But I do want to spend a little bit of time here, and I would love for Vero to jump in if she has any comments, because I was speaking to some of the participants of this book, and there is this huge piece about really being out, right? Like, there's no denying that you're out now after you've chosen and agreed and consented to be in this book. So I have also spoken to some youth who are like, so proud about this book, so proud to be in it, didn't show my family. You know what I mean? So like, I want to spend a little bit of time here of, right, the importance of representation, but also the importance of having the agency to tell your own story when you are ready to tell your own story in your own words. And then just the layer of what that looks like when you identify as Filipinx, as queer. And I know Laura always stays quiet in the background, but I think it's so, so important to hear from our queer Filipinx youth. So Veronica, Laura, if you have things to share, what was your reaction when you heard that there was a queer Filipinx Canadian book that had this representation of all our amazing kapwa?
Well, I was very, very excited to hear about this, because like, hey, there's a book about me. But then I'm like, wait, about me? Well, what am I? Like, it went through like that thought of like, wait. Am I a lesbian? Am I a queer? What does that mean? And there was all of this conversation. And in my head, I'm just like, just open the book and see all your other kapwa who's like out there, right? And thanks, Franz, for opening this conversation, because there are people there who we have our own kapwa who's like kind of in touch of who they are now, but only to themselves. Not they didn't feel comfortable handing this book over to their families and such. And this opens a conversation with my own family listening to the broadcast, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if you want to hear me. And here I'm more like proud and open about being queer and such, but with my family there's another type of like conversation that I'm yet to do. But just I have the same conversation when I tried to organize a lot of Filipino queers here in Montreal before the Montreal Pride was canceled. And the things that I've heard from our kapwa is that they're ready to go on and march and do the parade, but they're not ready to let their friends and family know about this. And I like the fact that I was able to provide them this type of space where they can feel who they are, even if it's like group chat, even if it's them like walking with me. And so I feel like Jax, the book, your book, I saw it three different times with three different people here in Montreal. And the first time I saw it, I just immediately grabbed it and like looking at it, I'm like, oh my God. Opening it, putting it, and then like they're reading in and out. I'm like, yes, this is me. Every page is just like, that's my friend, that's my kapwa. And like, yeah, we're all like very different, but we're all queer. And it's also very important in my decolonization process. So there's a lot of feelings around it. And it completely resonates with your book, and it affirmed and recognized. And I don't know, just overall, it makes me feel like I'm not alone in this journey. And so with that, I really
I want to say props to Jax and to all of the other couple behind you who made this happen for all of the baby queers out there to like, oh, what's happening? Laura, you're like nodding.
Exactly. So yeah, as a baby queer, it's kind of like that. I struggle with my own identity, but seeing others that look like me, but also are using language that because I'm not often around a queer community, but I do know I'm queer. And that like acceptance and just my identity as a whole, like seeing this book and reading the experiences and reading the poetry as well. Like there are a lot of things that I feel like the people around me wouldn't understand if I read this to them. But for me, it makes me cry. You know what I mean? So I'm really happy. I'm really happy that there's something like this that I can relate to, that I can see that I like there are pronouns, the pronoun part, I've never been able to see exactly where I stand, but I saw when someone put sha, I was like, that is me. That is me. She, her, they, sha. You know what I mean? And I've never been able to see that until being around the people that were part of Pinay Power. So I'm really happy about this book, and I freaked out when I saw it. So thank you so much for putting that out there and giving us a safe space in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to add, as a decolonizing mama that's also in the process with France's mentorship, also it's like queering my life and my family and how I'm raising my daughter. And I'm so excited to get a copy of the book, and and the plan is that she will be at the event tomorrow. But really to just, I want her to see pictures, and so like to just see what life could look like. And if she grows up and she's queer, then she feels connected, and she feels like, again, as a mother, I just want to expose her to everything. So thank you for giving me this opportunity and for sharing these stories. And thank you for everyone that shared their stories there, just making, you know, the journey with my daughter and as a mother and as a tita and as an ate and as a friend more beautiful for me. So thank you.
Yeah. So Jax, you heard our what we feel about your book and like the content behind it, but we want to hear from you. Like, how did it feel to like see the book for the first time?
Yeah, first, thank you so much for sharing those sentiments. And I felt the exact same way. To see the book in person, to feel the texture of it, the weight of it, meant so much because, yeah, like you, I've never seen anything that had our faces, our stories, our identities represented in such, with like, we were very intentional about making sure that we even had, you know, the regions of where our parents are from. So, because I'd never, and like what languages, because there are languages I've never even seen, you know, we never talk about that. Like when I witness, you know, friends from Treaty 7 introduce themselves, like they would always ask, like, where's your family from? And that's what I always ask. And some people, like, I know there's a difference when Filipinos ask that, because it's like, oh, you're trying to judge me whether I'm city folk or like provinciana, you know. But I think it's, there's deep value in knowing where you're from and seeing that other people are, oh, you're what I do, you know. Like it's just wonderful to have that. And and something similar to what you said, Veronica, about being able to share that space. Like I mailed a copy to my mom who lives in the States, and she flipped through it, and then she was like, you know, through the queering Filipinx section with all the portraits and stories, and she was like, who are these people? And I'm like, they're queer Filipinx, mom, like me. And she was like, she'd never, like, you know, like, we're supposed to keep that, like, secret. You're not supposed to tell people. Like, marry a cishet man and do whatever you want. Like, that's how you're supposed to do it. But, and then also, like, I shared it with my uncle and my aunt in Moquitos, and then they were, like, they were looking through it, and they were, like, why did you make this? And I was, like, because, you know, we've never talked about my life, and this is the first time we're talking about it. Like having a space where it just happens to have something that represents, you know, a bulk of my life, and I never get to talk about that with them. So That's a huge part of it. I think with the pandemic, it's taken me away from community in many ways. And I'm so glad that now I get to meet you tomorrow, and see you and be in space, sharing space together. Like there is even, you know, in the book, there's even space where people don't identify themselves, which is absolutely part of the experience of what identity is and the spectrum of it. You know, like we can say that it's like some folks are saying like they're allies, and some folks are saying like they're part of the LGBTQ2IS+ community, but at the same time, you know, you don't have to identify. Like your experiences don't shape how you identify. It's how you feel. And, you know, even being queer by politics is like what you're saying, Desiree, is absolutely part of where I feel safe.
Of course, me, the therapist, I'm going to have to bring it back to mental health, right? Like the importance of representation, the importance of seeing ourselves reflected in like the world we are moving through. But if I bring it back particularly to Filipina experience, like compulsory heteronormativity is so harmful. And it is so perpetuated, especially in our culture, right? We have our roots that are like so deeply ingrained into Catholicism. And while there's nothing wrong with that, and if our wonderful Kababayan find healing and ease and peace in Catholicism and community, by all means, I encourage it. But I think we also, again, I always say this on every show, I'm like, we need to be truth tellers. We need to be truth tellers about what harm the church has done. You know, the Pope is on his tour right now. I'm like, you ever going to go to the Philippines and return all the gold that you see in Vatican City? You know, but particularly for this episode, compulsory heteronormativity is harming our communities. And if anything, is harming our women more, because we're told that to be in a relationship with a man is a struggle, that it's going to take work, that maybe it's going to take time before he figures out how to please you. Maybe it's going to take time before, and we're told to be patient with these images, visions, representations of patriarchy, but we don't have it on the flip side. So there are so many beautiful Pinay lesbians who have shared with me that, oh my goodness, to even say, oh, am I lesbian? Am I maybe lesbian? Am I, or is this just the struggle of dating men? Is this just the struggle of dating men and we're trying to figure it out? You know, so the mental health of the Filipino community, the queer community, in challenging compulsory heteronormativity is my wish, you know, that this book will spread, basically. So it was so amazing. I feel like we could talk all day. We are going to have to wrap it up. Tomorrow, Thursday, August 18th, starting at 5 p.m., we will be at the Baha'i Collective Space, 1825 Tupper. Come one, come all. Please register, because spaces are limited. We do want to make sure we keep everyone safe. It is a mask recommended event, but we look forward to seeing you all there in person. Thank you so much, everyone. And thank you to Jacqueline Aquinas for being with us today.
So for community announcement, I would like to invite everyone who's listening to us right now at Radio Kapwa, CKUT 90.3 FM, that we, Sant Kapwa, are hosting a Montreal book tour of Home is in the Body. Home is in the Body is a Filipinx queer event. It's going to be held with our partner, Baha'i Collective, in at Tupper Street. So it's near Concordia Metro. It's in the downtown area. And we invite everyone to go and say hi to us. We're going to have so much of our Kapwa coming in, the Ka Collective. We're going to have performances. We have our own Laura. We have our Tamara Grace. We have Rico Love. So you don't know who Rico Love is, you should come and see us. The event Bright is going to be in our social media, so please, please, please do register. It's going to be held at August 18 from 5 p.m. onwards. So we invite you all to come in and say hi to us. Mabuhay.
Liberation for one is liberation for all. Tuloy ang laban.
MTL versus racism.
Montreal versus racism.
MTL versus racism.
A concert united against racism and discrimination.
Un concert uni contre racisme et la discrimination.
Saturday, the 10th of September, 6 to 10 p.m. in Girouard Park.
Samedi, le 10 septembre, 18h à 22h à Parc Girouard Indigé.
Avec des performances de
Jonathan Emile,
Charlotte,
Maritza,
Remy Picasso,
Paul Carniello,
DJ Lady Oracle.
Collecte de fonds pour Résilience Montréal.
Raising money for Resilience Montreal.
Tout le monde et tous les âges sont bienvenus.
Everybody is welcome.
This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Happy birthday, West Haven!
West Haven Elmhurst Community Recreation Association will be celebrating 50 years of serving the local NDG area.
Come and join us for our 50th anniversary at Coffee Park on August 20th.
Bring kids and the whole family. Games, music, food, and fun. Animated activities plus basketball tournament on our new court.
Prizes to be won. Live DJs and performers. Special edition t-shirts for sale. And refreshments will be available for purchase.
Also learn about West Haven's programming, including after-school, teen drop-in, basketball, DJ and studio recording, dance, skills, yoga, and more. Call 514-872-6134 for more info.
Please come and join us.
West Haven's 50th anniversary in the park.
Saturday, August 20th from 1 to 8 p.m. Coffee Street between Elmhurst and West Broadway.
Happy birthday, West Haven!
Oh! Follow West Haven on Instagram and Facebook for more information.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Kasla. My name is Gennarji O'Sullivan of the Tlaalitsis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Wendell exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
Jason Whitebear is one of our youngest panelists. He is a residential school survivor.
Gaki Waku Maganak, Nadi, Wendin Naganag. How Mataki was. I said all my relations in three different languages. Those languages were taken away and given with this one here that I've mastered in residential school. And they told me that once you go there, he says, you're not going to come home with this anymore. You're not going to come home being able to speak Nehewewan. You're not going to be able to speak. But when you do go, what I want you to do is I want you to try and master everything that they give you so that they can never fool us anymore. In my generation, we're at the point now where we understand the nuances between the languages. We can say, bonjour, Anin. I wish I knew a little bit of Arab, but you know, the point being is that we're all sitting around here and we're very learned people. We're very knowledgeable. We know how to say, to say a little bit of each other's language nowadays. And that's just us as this language, as this. And I think that's a direct result of residential school, is because we always ask each other, where are you from? Well, how do you say this? How do you say that? So that when you run into somebody else, you're allowed to respect them and say, Tansi, how? Bonjour, Anin. So regardless of what was taken away from me during my residential school formative years, I haven't lost the ability to see. And so it is with this that I thank each and every one of you. I'd like to say, Ninanaskamun, Gakyogi Gwayotsiwa Taaski, and that's Cree for I'm grateful for everything in this land. I had to learn that from a Kukum, because I was speaking in front of chiefs one time and I said, I can't speak the language. So she taught me that little bit. Ninanaskamutaman, Gakyogi Gwayotsiwa Taaski. Hi, hi. Thank you.
You have just heard at Window exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
CKUT's Il Groove Garden will be hosting our 25-year anniversary Sunday, August the 21st.
Special live radio broadcast from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. from Blue Dog, 3958 St. Laurent. Salute to Il Groove Garden, Foundation, D-Hybrid, Manchel, Bite, and Ziplocs.
Current DJs, DJ Blaster, yep, and DJ Mystical Flags.
Big up DJ Raid, Jesse Walker, Myth Ben, Serious Savage, Dirty Needle Crew, and the countless guests like Preach, Shogun, Tash, MCD Solo, and many more. Join us live in person at Blue Dog, 3958 St. Laurent. Vibes with IGG's crew, DJ Blaster, yep, Mystical Flex, yep, and host Ziplocs.
25 years of making your last hour of the week the best hour of the week. So before summer's done, we celebrate with music, performances, interviews, and vibes. Doors open at 8 p.m., live to air at 9 p.m. till 1 in the morning. Yep. So come join us live from Montreal's legendary Blue Dog.
3958 St. Laurent.
That's Il Groove Garden, 25-year anniversary. Live radio broadcast, Sunday, August the 21st. Tune in on CKUT 94.3 FM in Montreal or www.ckut.ca worldwide.
Hey, you're listening to Il Groove Garden.
90.3 FM.
But if you ain't all the way live, then step aside.